return on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday. Friday at last edition of It's Your Turn. Actually, Friday coming a little quicker this week for most folks because you remember, of course, that Monday was a holiday. Yeah, we had Labor Day, so short work week. A short week for students, and here we are the weekend already. We have several guests with us on the program, and that's been the case pretty much every day this week. We love it that way. A little bit later, we're going to be chatting with Deb Baker up at Slippery Rock University. They have announced their list of guest artists and performers for the Performing Arts Series at Slippery Rock in the new school year, and they have some pretty big names coming in. Maureen McGovern, among others. Soledad O'Brien. So we'll get the scoop on that from Deb Martin a little bit later on the program. Also today, they used to call it food stamps. I don't call it food stamps anymore. It's the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. There are some proposed changes to eligibility for the SNAP program, and we'll get the scoop on that from Sarah Laufer a little bit later on the program today. But our first guest is with us here in the studio, Deacon Mitch Natale from the Butler City Catholic Parishes. Mitch, good to see you.
Likewise, Dave. Always good to be with you.
You have an event coming up that you've been hosting here for several years now, right?
That is correct. I can't tell you how long it's been. It might be 10 years for whatever, but it's called Gather the Logs, Rekindle the Fire, and it's a men's conference. Got the inspiration for it from there still is a men's gathering in Pittsburgh, and mm-hmm. Now that had been an all-day event, and it was once a year, and I was talking to a gentleman from the local area, and he was saying as the years went by, they were getting less men to go. And I thought that it would be good to have an event halfway between those. That would be just half a day. There was a cost to the other one because it provided lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And just a half a day event. Now, there's no charge for that, and there never has been. We do look for donations. There's a basket there that we have. Because it does cost to have speakers in. It does cost to use the facility. So mm-hmm. That helps to defray those costs. But anyway, this would be a half-day event, and it would be more of a local nature. My vision on it was for it to be heaven in each of the four vicariates, and so that you could draw them in from that area. And we have our local Episcopal leader, vicar, Father Phil Farrell, as the celebrant for the Mass, and we've had that since we started that, too.
Vicariates are like subdivisions of the diocese or something?
That is correct. There are four of them in the Pittsburgh diocese. They used to have what was called deaneries, and there was maybe about 17 of those, and that's as an intermediate level between the bishop and the parishes. Well, they then group them more and have four of them now. They call them vicariates, the leaders of the Episcopal vicar.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's as a go-between, both down and up. And also there are different things that the vicar does that the dean wouldn't be able to do, and so forth. So it was a move with that, and that's why I wanted to go on that level. Unfortunately, it didn't seem to catch on with that it becomes more of a local level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's still, the information is passed out to the vicariate, and even beyond that, it's to be a men's gathering. You don't have to be from vicariate four. You don't even have to be Catholic to come. But you do have to be a man to come to it. It's a men's gathering, and because, you know, you need to gather to focus on things that are particular or focused on your gender, your manhood, your grouping as men.
So let me make sure I understand this. The Pittsburgh Diocese, all six counties, they have this gathering of men once a year.
Correct.
In Pittsburgh. But it seemed that there were fewer men going from the Butler County area down to Pittsburgh for mm-hmm. this event.
Right.
First of all, you have to travel down to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It's an all-day thing. Mm-hmm. But I seem to recall news stories from that, at least in its early years. They got a huge crowd. And they have it at the Palumbo Center and the Duquesne campus or somewhere?
Right, they have. They had it down at the Palumbo Center for a number of years. Then they went over to the Lawrence Convention Center for a while. And now they, which is interesting, they've like had it in at North Catholic. And those had been all-day events. And now this past year, they'd had it as a half-day event. So unfortunately, their numbers are dwindling too.
Mm-hmm.
It had been a very dynamic, well-attended event for men. And that's why I called it, like, gather the logs, rekindle the fire. Because as you know, if you want to put out a fire, you spread the logs out so that they can't feed off one another.
Mm-hmm. And eventually the fire dies out.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why we gathered together in Pittsburgh this one time, and then so we've then separated from that. Well, let's now gather together again and rekindle that fire. And so that's how it got its name, Gather the Logs, Rekindle the Fire.
So you have another one of these gatherings coming up in about a week's time.
That is correct. And we get then with themes of it. Like last year we had it, as it turned out, it was on the Holy Day, the Immaculate Conception. It was in December. And we like to keep it more towards a fall thing because their event is in the spring.
Well, next Saturday's. No special day, right? It's just a regular routine Saturday in mid-September.
Well, it is and it isn't.
Oh.
Because it's the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And let's lift high the cross. It seemed that just was the inspiration for that date to have it.
That's a great hymn.
It is.
Across all Christian denominations.
Exactly.
Lift high the cross, yeah.
And so that's why... we're having it on that day and with that theme. And there's important aspects of that we need to do with that aspect of the cross, of recognize on the cross that was our salvation. You know, we had in the Old Testament where they had the brazen serpent on the pole to heal the people. We have then Jesus on the cross.
I don't remember that symbol, but now that you mention it, from the motion picture, the Ten Commandments. That's what Moses was holding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have that there he was, our Redeemer on the cross for us. And so, I mean, just what are the different crosses that we have in our life? What are the, you know, the things that we need to recognize and celebrate and have redemption for in our life? Things that we've maybe... done focus areas we've gone astray on, different things that we allow to cloud our living of our faith, our living of our manhood, our living as husband, father, brother, worker, you know, just all those different things that we may be pushing aside that we need to embrace.
This gathering of men is... next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, September 14th, where is it going to take place, Mitch?
It's going to be out at St. Andrew's, North Main Street Extension. It's up a little beyond the Clearview Mall. We've had it there for a number of years, and it's just such a beautiful venue for that, that we can have it indoors. And we don't have to worry about the weather going back from the church to the hall, and it's handicap accessible, so it's a very good venue for us for that.
And this, you mentioned this would be a half a day thing.
That is correct.
What's the agenda? What will happen?
Well, we'll start at 8 o'clock, We start with Mass. And Father Phil Farrell will be the celebrant and homilist for the Mass. Then we follow that with registration. We have coffee and donuts at that point, and then we'll get into our first talk. We usually have two or three talks. Last year, the way that we had a priest, a deacon, and a layman with the talk, and I thought that's a good mix to have with that. And so we have a priest and a deacon this year for the talks, but then it seemed, let's do something a little different with the third part, and that was the Stations of the Cross. We do those during Lent, and they can be done all year around, but they seem to be just focused on during Lent. And since we're talking about the Exaltation of the Cross and Lift High the Cross, let's go through the Stations of the Cross and reflect on that and how that interweaves in our life. Jesus fell three times. There was Simon who helped him carry the cross. We fall, but get up. We have someone to help us with that. Veronica came and wiped the face of Jesus. The women who were weeping there in the tomb. And then, all of those aspects that it's more than just the Lone Ranger aspect of it. There are people to help us, male and female. Jesus meets his mother. The importance of Mary in our life. So we have all those different things that we get in through the Stations of the Cross, that this is just a time to reflect on it rather than being, okay, it's Lent, we've done Stations of the Cross and move on, we go over to the fish fryer or whatever. This is a time to have that. And then after that, we close with benediction. And the Blessed Sacrament is exposed throughout the day. It'll be exposed after Mass. We hope to have priests there for confession also. And that was the thing Pittsburgh had. They would have priests there available for confession. That seemed to wane for our need because of the availability of the parish priest. And now I would like to go to Father so-and-so on a regular basis. So.
Stations of the Cross, that concept might not be familiar to some Christian denominations. Can you explain what that is?
Well, what it was taken of Jesus carrying his cross, going to Golgotha, what he experienced along the way and what people happened to encounter with him on that. Scripturally, is it there? Not very much.
Some of it is, obviously.
Some of it is, right. But not all of it. But, we have tradition, and tradition is important. We have that in any of our lives, that we have that value. That, and how this then evolves and comes about, that these things happening as Jesus went to Golgotha.
The descriptions of the Passion are different in each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So some things are in one Gospel, not in another, or vice versa.
That's right. And you have those, how the last words of Christ are gleaned from all and compiled to be to then become one with that.
I never thought about that, although there's a wonderful classical musical work, The Seven Last Words of Christ by Dubois, yeah. It commingles those words from the different gospel accounts of the Passion. Yeah. That's a good point. We're talking about a gathering of men that will take place a week from tomorrow, Saturday next, at St. Andrew's Roman Catholic Church on North Main Street in Butler. It's half a mile maybe north of Clearview Mall, just north of Clearview Mall. And it's called Gather the Logs, Rekindle the Fire. Deacon Mitch Natale is with us from Butler City Catholic Parishes. We'll pick up our conversation with him once again in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. You know Miller's Shoes, right? Many of you, I'm sure, know the Ciprian family personally. And we can say that about generations, about their families, really. Because Miller Shoes has been downtown for 126 years now. That's what you call staying power. That's what you call tradition. You'll find athletic shoes for every member of the family. Men, women, teens, kids. And not only that, you'll find the biggest selection in the area because Miller's has all the famous name brands right there under one roof. Nike and Reebok, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro-Pet. No need to go to three or four stores. They've got them all right there at Miller's Shoes. They're also your local headquarters for SAS, Comfort Shoes and Sandals, made in America. Not too many shoes are anymore. You'll find other name brands, too, at Miller's, names you know, and Trust, Rockport, and Hush Puppies, and others. And there's always lots of shoes on sale on racks for easy browsing. Great buys, that famous Miller's fit, a good price, and always a smile from Jimmy and the other Ciprians. At Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, a tradition for 126 years. Back with more of It's Your Turn for a Friday, right after this message.
I was just 49 when I started getting mail from AARP. AARP? Shoot, I was just getting started in life. Then I hit my 60s and retirement was on my mind. The big question was, did I prepare? What about healthcare? Are my finances in order? Not just for my wife and me, but for the kids and grandkids. I got the answers I needed from attorney Michael Pater, specializing in elder law, long-term care, Medicaid, and wills and estate planning, is attorney Michael Pater in the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center. Phone 287-7724.
Welcome back. Deacon Mitch Natale is with us from Butler City Catholic Parishes. He's talking about a men's conference that will take place a week from tomorrow, next Saturday. And this is open to all, by the way. Now, you said there are going to be speakers.
That is correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the guest speakers?
Yeah, we have two speakers. Like I mentioned, we have a priest and a deacon as our speakers. And starting off, our first speaker will be Deacon Toby Gaines. Toby is a classmate of mine. We went through our classes together. It turned out we were ordained a year later than our class for various reasons. It turned out a wonderful experience because we were ordained what is referred to as transitional deacons.
Mm-hmm.
Those are men who are going to be ordained priests. But, you know, once a deacon, always a deacon. It's the entry level to holy orders. So every priest was ordained a deacon. Every bishop, before he was ordained a priest, was ordained a deacon. So, yeah, that. But Toby and I were classmates with that. So we've interacted well together in different things. And Toby has a unique background and such. He was a funeral director in Pittsburgh, and he was assigned to the cathedral parish, and then he moved out to the area. He was good friends with Tom Rutkowski. He's been to Medjugorje, and he's done a lot of other things.
I can remember before his death, Tom was with us on the program once, many years ago.
Yeah. So, you know, he's his background, he's a very holy man, a very his faith is a conservative faith. He's very staunch in his faith with that. He covers different areas. He's assigned to being the chaplain at Concordia in Cabot, but yet he's also a member of the City of Pittsburgh Police Chaplain Corps.
Does he have a specific topic that he'll be speaking about next Saturday?
Well, it's along the lines of the Lift High the Cross. To focus is to be, you know, on this. So we'll see how, and it's a matter of interpretation, how each of the speakers interpret that. Some of them give almost like a life history of themselves, of where they're going. Like last year was of Mary, and they were talked a lot about Mary in their life, and then weaving it in with family stuff. So Toby's written a couple of books, too. He's written a book called The Assignment, and then also Waiting in Ravenwood. I haven't read either of them, but maybe sometime if he talks with you, he can get you to read it, and you can be on your book.
Be a good idea. You said he's currently a chaplain at Concordia?
Correct.
Down in Cabot. Is he assigned to any other parishes? Or?
Not at this moment. He interacts with different ones along the way. He is, it's difficult for him because he lives out in the Evan City area. So even with the Cabot assignment, it's difficult with something.
A little bit of a drive.
Yeah.
You said that you were classmates with him.
Yes.
So you have to go to class to become a deacon. How do you become a deacon?
Well, it becomes an extensive process. You know, whenever you have a supply and demand, you have a big supply for your demand that you have of what your need is. So you have to have a bachelor's degree. It doesn't have to be in anything specifically, but you need a bachelor's degree. If you're married, you can be married, but you have to be married before ordination. You're interviewed. You go through a psychological interview. You have a physical exam. You have other interviews. They interview you and your spouse in the home. And then you have a year, what they call a propedeutic year, which is a pre-class year where you're seeing about if you want to get into this type of ministry.
Once you actually start class, how long do you have to go to school?
Yeah, it's about 4 or 5 years that you have.
Oh, so it's a long process then, huh?
Yes. I refer to it as the Reader's Digest version of the for the priesthood, because you have the classes that the seminarians have in preparing for the priesthood, but it's not as extensive. Each class is usually about 5 weeks, one day a week for about 2.5 hours. And then there's often some paper or some testing involved with it at the end.
So Reader's Digest, as in Reader's Digest, condensed books, is that?
Exactly. That's what my reverence is for that.
I wonder if they still have those. I have no idea. I can remember reading those when I was a kid.
Yeah, same here. I have no idea either.
But. Well, I get the analogy anyway.
Good, yeah. Good. So then you also have service assignments. Because a deacon is to be, I refer to like a man of water in the towel. So it's a service ministry. You do things liturgically, but you also have aspects of service. Like one of my assignments is the community dinner that's held at St. Paul's every Tuesday. So
this is part of the community dinners that are held at various churches here in the city.
That is correct.
Every night of the week.
Yeah, so you have that, and then you're usually assigned to a parish in your for word and ministry, for word and sacrament in a parish that's either that you belong to or is neighborly. They won't if you're from Butler County, they won't send you to Greene County. So they have that fairly close.
Be a long commute. That's for sure.
Sure would. Yeah.
So then you have a second speaker. Who's that going to be?
That's Father Ben Vigetto. He is well-rounded, a very calm and peaceful man, a very holy man, a very involved man. He's done various things in the diocese. He works with the tribunal. He's working with cases regarding annulments. He's been at the seminary. He's been a spiritual director there. He's the spiritual advisor for the Bishop's Project with the Knights of Columbus, and that's where the money's collected for St. Anthony School programs and McGuire Home. He's been a chancellor. He's for the diocese. He's worked in various aspects throughout that. He studied in Rome, so he's had some different things with that. So he's been very active with that.
He's been in ministry for quite a while then, I guess.
Yeah. He was ordained back in 1978, so he's in ministry a lot. I was looking at his aspect of things of where he's been. He went to St. Fidelis and Herman for high school, which I had gone, and then also was at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland. So I've been there. So there's...
Is that a seminary?
Yeah, it was. In fact, it's the second oldest seminary in the United States. It was once called the Cradle of Bishops because a lot of the bishops came out of that seminary. I think now mostly they would send them to Rome or some other places. And men coming out of Rome would be ones that they'd look at more for.
And that's in Maryland, you say?
Yes, it's near Gettysburg. It's pretty much just across the border from Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's the men that were studying there would go up to the top of the hill at the mount there, and they could see at the Civil War, they could see the smoke from the battle going on there.
Hmm. So he will speak, and then, as you mentioned earlier, you'll have the you actually go through the Stations of the Cross.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make them a little more reflective, that we pause during each station for an opportunity to reflect on that. We want to use a little different one than is normal, and we've used it sometimes in the city parishes. It's called the Vincentian Stations of the Cross. So it's where it takes a time of reflecting about, you know, and the theme is what you do for the least of these, you do for me. And so reflect on how do we care for others? How do we get involved with different situations? And so to pause and reflect on that, to see, are we living our faith? And how can we do that? What are the different opportunities around? And what are the different needs around? And how can I fulfill those needs? We each have different gifts and talents that we can express and various levels in without in different aspects of the community. Maybe it involves with nothing more than just our language at work.
Why is there a need for a conference just for men? Do they have particular needs or obstacles or what?
Well, yeah, we, and we own, we, sometimes men are afraid to express things, but if you're around other men, you see that you're going through the same situation. So you have that same, and so that you can see you're not alone there. So you can take that and build from that and grow from that and maybe have someone to bounce things off of. You know, often men try to be like the macho, I can do it myself thing. And we can't do it ourselves. Yeah. Even learning anything. We didn't do it on our own. We had teachers. We had mentors. We had books. We had videos. We had different things. We had apprenticeships. We had things that were, we learned how. Yeah, and we had some that we had ourselves that we then added to that. But we need other men to learn about our manhood and to develop our manhood in a way. It's not as a denial of the other sex, it's not denial of women, of family, children, but it's so that we can develop to see how we can support and serve.
Do you think some men are hesitant to speak about their religious beliefs?
Absolutely. I think that, and that's where you, often you see a lot of times just women at church and women getting involved with things. Men somehow don't see that as being manly, and yet it is such a manly expression of who we are in the church. Some of that with men of crying. Now, we've gotten over some of that, but just seeing what God has done for us, Jesus on the cross, and taking that and internalizing that. And then after we internalize that, then externalize its expression. So, you know, see this as a necessary opportunity. With Pittsburgh, they've talked about small men's groups, and we have some of those where they meet, some meet weekly, some meet monthly, some meet twice a month. Just going over of what it means to be a man of faith.
We're talking about a gathering of men, a men's conference, entitled Gather the Logs, Rekindle the Fire, which will be held a week from tomorrow, Saturday next, September 14th, at St. Andrew's Catholic Church, North Main Street, Route 8 North in Butler. How many years have you had this event here locally, do you know?
It's what I was trying to think of that, Dave, but I really couldn't tell you.
Several years, anyway.
It has been. I know our first one was at St. Mike's, then we went to St. Fidelis, and then we've been at St. Andrew's, I think, at least 5 years, I think.
Do you know, was this shortly after they started this yearly gathering down in Pittsburgh?
No, it was not. It was probably about 4 or 5 years after they were doing that, and just how a man was from St. Fidelis had seen how the group that he brought down lessened, and we were just discussing that, and then this just came as an inspiration of, as an opportunity or as a way. I've talked to other people about it from different areas. Oh, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. That's all that it seems to go. So,
we've had a changing, in some cases, a sea change in the understanding of men's role in life, whether it's family life or not. I mean, for many decades, centuries, men were considered the head of household. That's not necessarily the case anymore. Yeah. Let's look at it more as an equal partners type of thing. Do you think the changing understanding of a man's role in life has made it a little confusing for some men?
Oh, absolutely. And I think some of that is, you lead by serving. And it was that the man wouldn't serve. It was more like he would be served. And sure, that's nice to have everybody take care of things for you, but that's not how we're made. You know, we're made as givers, and learning of what that means. There's wisdom to be given. There's like leadership to be given, of direction. And I think it had been as, do this because I say so. And some of that, yeah, you need to have that, but there's a way of doing that that shows that this is where we need to go. Or then also that thing of, well, you know, I'd really like to go golfing, but, you know, the spouse, the bride, has this need.
A lot of those attitudes, of course, stem from the Old Testament, where indeed men were served. Yeah. They did not serve. Women were very much treated as property.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament scriptures, almost without fail.
Yeah. But if you look at that as we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we're made, and Christ is the Son of God, and what did he do? He stooped and served. He washed the feet of his disciples. He healed. He forgave. You know, he put aside different things. He went off to the mountain to pray. And on his way, he came across a whole bunch of people who needed healing, who needed his presence. And he put that aside to meet their needs. So, you know, those are things that we need to look at as men to see, okay, what does that mean? Yeah, it means sometimes doing the things that we really don't want to do at a time we really don't want to do them. But that's what we need to do.
Talking with Deacon Mitch Natale, you mentioned the concept of not being served but serving. Is that what a deacon does? What does a deacon do? What can a deacon do?
Well, it is a thing of service. I mentioned about water and the towel, and that's tied in with from the Gospel of John, where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Mm-hmm. And that we can hatch, match, and dispatch. We can baptize, marry, and bury. We preach, and that's from that aspect of feeding. So we have that, and then there's various aspects of service in the community, like Toby is the chaplain out at Concordia. Well, you don't go there and have a little service and leave. You know, you're there, you talk, you minister. The community dinner.
Service is kind of the bottom line, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly. And I find whenever I was first ordained, I was still working at the mill. And it was amazing, just by walking through different departments, language changed. People approached me, male, female, Catholic, non-Catholic, about different situations that they were dealing with. You're in the marketplace, and that happens to me. I work part-time as a tip staff, and that interweaves with people that talk about what's going on in their family. They ask for prayer. They just talk about different stuff. So, you know, we have the advantage of being where the people are.
Deacon Mitch Natale, once again, men's conference, gather the logs, rekindle the fire.
Week from tomorrow, 8 a.m. to noon, out at St. Andrew's, North Main Street Extension, about, like you said, about a half mile north of the Clearview Mall on the left.
Good to see you, Mitch.
Always, Dave. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Deborah Baker at Slippery Rock University. She will detail some of the... They got some really pretty big names coming in for the Performing Arts Series during the new school term, fall and spring semester at The Rock. So stick around. After these messages, we'll be talking with Deb Baker here on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Going to be talking about the upcoming Performing Arts Series at Slippery Rock University as we begin a new school year, and there are some exciting changes, folks. I think you'll be interested. We're going to be chatting via the telephone with Deb Baker, who is the Special Events Coordinator at Slippery Rock University. Deb, good to talk with you again. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to hear your voice, too.
When I got the news release on the lineup of guests that are going to be coming to Slippery Rock during the coming school year, I went, wow, you got some pretty big names coming in here. And there's also a major change. It's not going to be just performers this year, is it?
No, we've added several lectures also. So it has become a performing arts and lecture series.
I know when I was in undergraduate school, that's what we had. At my school, it was arts and lectures. And some of the lectures were simply fantastic. Let's talk about that first, since that's brand new. Who is going to be coming to Slippery Rock as part of the lecture series?
We have significant names coming each semester. On Tuesday, November 19th, we've invited Donna Brazile and Anna Navarro to do a conversation about crossing the political divide. And that is at 7:30 in the Smith Student Center right here on campus.
Anna
We're very excited to have the two women here and to learn from them about how we do cross that political divide.
They are big names indeed. Anna Navarro is a well-known Republican strategist. You see her on CNN, I believe. And Donna Brazile just joined the Fox News Network, I believe.
Absolutely. So it's going to be very interesting to hear their perspectives. And I understand they've done this lecture together in the past. So it's going to be, I'm sure, very respectful of one another, but very timely because certainly the political climate's in our news every single day these days.
And that is November 19th, which is a Tuesday, I believe.
It is a Tuesday, and I have to tell you that this lecture is free, but there is still, capacity issues. So tickets will be distributed at the door, and the first 750 people will be given tickets. So people will know pretty quickly whether they have entrance into the ballroom. And the good news is, even if you don't get into the first 750 seats, we are going to be simulcasting it on two different TV channels or TV screens in the Student Center. So you can still go into our theater and watch it and go into Rocky's and watch it. So we should be able to accommodate everybody's here, whether it's in the initial site or not.
I was going to ask you about the venue. It's the ballroom of the Smith Student Center. That's correct?
That's correct.
Now, will this be open to the general public, Deb, or is it just for students?
Oh, no, absolutely it's open to the public. We're actually having two lines, one's for students and one's for the public. There are students whose faculty have recommended that they attend the show, so we will accommodate those students who are going for class credit, and then we'll also accommodate the community. So, yes, no, we should have a very nice array of people from all ages joining us.
So
I would suggest the doors open at 7, but I would suggest that if people actually wanted to be in the primary venue, that they get here a little bit before so they end up in line and get the tickets for the first 750 seats.
So that's the speaker series for the fall semester on November 19th, and you have another heavyweight, another very nationally known figure coming in the spring semester.
Right. On Tuesday, February 18th in 2020, we have Soledad O'Brien coming in to talk about her life stories. And, you know, she's a journalist, an entrepreneur, host of political talk shows, matter of fact. And I think she's also going to be a stunning speaker.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen her on television a lot. She does a weekly syndicated show called Matter of Fact. And I've seen her. I know she worked for CNN at one point. I don't know whether she's still there or not. And that is February 18th. I do not have a calendar for 2020, so I don't know what day of the week that is. But is that also going to be in the Smith Student Center Ballroom?
It is. It's also in the Smith Student Center Ballroom. It is a Tuesday. It is a 7:30 lecture. And again, the doors will open at 7, and tickets will be distributed to the first 750 people. And we probably will also simulcast it in other venues in that building. So if people come and they don't get into the ballroom, they can still stay in our space and listen. We will have students who will have pieces of paper, so people who have questions in the other spaces can still submit their questions. Of course, they're limited in time, so if we have 100 questions, we'll probably get to the first 5, but we will have ways for people to still interact, even if they're not sitting in the actual space.
And again, these are open. These talks are open to the general public, and for these particular lectures, it's free. There's no admission charge.
Absolutely. Yes.
So
we're excited to offer this to our campus and community.
So let's move on to the performing arts portion of the well-known artists who are coming to the Rock this year. When does that start out, Deb Baker?
Well, the first show show actually is right around the corner on Friday, September 13th, and it's in the University Union. The title of the show is Disney and the Boys, and two identical twins, Will and Anthony Nunziata, will be taking audience on a special magical ride through iconic Disney songs. They have been endorsed by the Disney Company, which is not that easy to do. Disney loves them. And they also will be bringing with them some rare Disney footage. So there'll be some screens set up, and you'll see some film that isn't necessarily generally available to the public. And as a special treat, they've invited two of our students to join them on stage for a few songs. So we'll actually see some of the talent from our student body joining them.
Well, I'm sure the students will be familiar with some of the music from, The Little Mermaid and The Lion King and some of the more modern, more up-to-date Disney shows. That's wonderful.
Right, right. And tickets are currently available. As a matter of fact, for all our performing arts shows, tickets are currently available. So even if there's something down the road that is very exciting for you, we encourage you to buy your tickets early because it's all reserved seats. So the sooner one buys tickets, the better the seats will be. But Disney and the Boys is right around the corner, so people should either get online at www.sru.edu/PAS, that stands for Performing Arts Series, or give us a call at 724-738-2616 to order tickets.
And what about the rest of the shows throughout the remainder of the school year?
Oh, well, we're very excited about Sunday, October 27th. We have the Queen's Six joining us. They're based at the Windsor Castle. And each year, the Queen allows them to leave for a few years to do a tour. And this year, they're touring the United States. So we're excited to be one of the few venues actually having them on our campus. And they sing everything from early chants to Renaissance to madrigals to folk songs and jazz and pop arrangements. We also have an opportunity for the audience to meet them prior to the concert if they have questions about, how do you get to sing in St. George's Chapel Choir? What's it like performing for royalty? And that is free with the purchase of a ticket, and that starts at 6 o'clock. And that'll be an hour, so people will have plenty of time to get to their seats for the 7:30 performance in the same venue. So that's in October 27th. And then December 6th, we're really excited to bring Eileen Ivers' Christmas show, A Joyful Christmas, to our campus. I had the opportunity to see her in Pittsburgh earlier this year, and let me say she is dynamic. The Pittsburgh audience loved her. She loves the Pittsburgh audience. We've already gotten calls from people who are at that concert asking for tickets, and she has been called the Jimi Hendrix of the violin. And she used to be the lead fiddler for Riverdance, so she's known in a lot of different productions, but she has her own band, and she's doing the holiday show. So that's very exciting. And then come February, to open Black History Month, we're doing a cirque called Cirque Zuma Zuma, which is a group that was on America's Got Talent a few years ago, and it's a cirque show from Africa. And again, all these shows are available to purchase tickets online or to go on YouTube and see the work they do. So if you're not familiar with their work, you can become familiar and get excited about coming to see them. And then we finish our season on Saturday, March 21st with Maureen McGovern. She is doing a program called The Long and Winding Road, which will feature music by Paul Simon, Carole King, James Taylor, Lennon McCartney, Dylan, Joni Mitchell, et cetera, et cetera. But she was well known for much of her own music. She sang the music to Poseidon Adventure and Superman. So she's a winner in her own right, but the music will be well known to people who know the music from the 70s.
She's also tickets
are all available now.
She's a native of Youngstown, Ohio, too.
Yes, she is local, Ohio. I call that local.
I do, too.
yes. So we're excited. And she was here many years ago, and we're excited that she's coming back. And for her show, some of our choir members, our student choir members, will join her for a few songs also. We always love to highlight our students to show how talented they are, too.
Once again, can you repeat ticket information for our listeners, Deb?
Sure. Tickets can be purchased online at www.sru.edu/PAS. That's PAS standing for Performing Arts Series. Or they can call 724-738-2616. Tickets for the shows for adults are all the same price. For adults, they're $22. For senior citizens, they're $20. And for youth, they are $18. We do have a special Slippery Rock University price for our current students of only $8, so they get a significant discount. We welcome students. We welcome community. We welcome our parents to come join their students for these shows. It's a wonderful family. They're all family-friendly shows.
What a lineup. Thanks, Deb Baker. Thanks for filling us in.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you, Dave. And we look forward to seeing your audience on the Slippery Rock campus.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Deb. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
When planning a funeral, many times there's the question of cremation. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is cremation appropriate? Should there be a funeral service? How would your family feel about cremation? And of course, what's the cost? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it's a time to celebrate the meaningful life of your loved one. It's a precious time. Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Listeners, coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR Today, my name is Dave Malarkey. You know, they used to call it the food stamp program. It goes by a different name now, SNAP, and that stands for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Well, there's a proposed new rule coming from the federal government that could involve some people losing their eligibility. We're going to be talking about that today with our guest who joins us by telephone, Sarah Laufer, who is a senior research programmer at Mathematica Policy Research. Sorry for the long preface, but we had a lot of stuff to get through there on the introduction, Sarah. Nice to have you with us here today. So this is a proposed rule from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This is the federal department that oversees the SNAP program, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And what is the proposed rule? How would it change things?
Sure. So the proposed rule is to eliminate something called broad-based categorical eligibility. So what this does is it automatically enrolls individuals and households in SNAP if they are receiving TANF-funded benefits through the TANF agencies at the state level. So the reason that this is a little bit expansive in a perspective is because it allows for individuals to have a higher income limit as well as an asset limit. Those limits would match what the TANF agencies require.
Now, it's my understanding that this proposal would affect SNAP participants in 39 states. Pennsylvania will be among them, I assume, those who might be affected?
Yes. So it's 42 in total if you count the U.S. territories as well, including D.C., Guam, the Virgin Islands, and Hawaii. So Pennsylvania is among them, impacted at about 11%.
Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of this proposed rule change? Why is it being considered?
So the rule change is being considered in order to simplify the processes and make sure that states follow what's put forth at the federal level for the asset and income limit.
I understand that the ultimate goal of this proposal is to reduce food insecurity. I'm a little bit confused about what that phrase means, reducing food insecurity. What's that mean?
So food insecurity is individuals who struggle to access food or struggle to pay for their food. And so the ultimate goal of the SNAP program in total is to reduce that struggle for individuals of a lower income who may not be able to access or pay for their food.
Does a family have to have kids to qualify for SNAP?
They do not. So a lot of individuals also qualify for SNAP.
How did you conduct your recent survey examining this, Sarah? What was the methodology that you used?
So the data that we used is provided by FNS directly, Food Nutrition Services. So we use their quality control sample data that they collect annually, and we conducted a little bit of modeling using additional SIP data to impute the percentage of the population in each state that was categorically eligible. So that would not pass the federal income and asset limits, but is eligible based on state policies using TANF benefit amount.
I understand.
So we used 2016 quality control data, which is the same data that was used for FNS's federal regulation.
I understand there's a website where people can get more information on this topic. Is that so?
There is. So we put together a resource for individuals to look at the state level. So they can come to our website, click on their state. They can see exactly how many and what percentage of the SNAP population is impacted. And then we also have that broken out by state, by demographic. So we're looking at households that are in poverty or have children, have earnings, elderly individuals, or individuals with a disability.
This is a proposed rule change that you're talking about here. Any timeline on when there may be a final decision on whether or not to implement this proposed rule?
Sure. So there's a 60-day comment period before any rule can go into effect or be decided upon. So they'll take into account every comment that comes in on the proposed rule. And the end of that period is September 23rd.
Sarah Laufer is a senior research programmer at Mathematica Policy Research. I understand the funding for this survey came from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Am I correct on that?
Yep, that's correct.
Nice to talk with you, Sarah. Thanks for sharing this information with our listeners. Sure. So long now.
Great. Thanks for having me.
We thank our earlier guests who visited with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Deacon Mitch Natale was here. And a great conversation with Deb Baker, too, from Slippery Rock University. A couple of program notes for you. First of all, we're scheduled to have some open talk time on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. We're also going to be talking with Garrett Graff, who has just published a new book on an oral history of 9/11, the terrorist attacks that took place. We'll mark the 18th anniversary of that next week, believe it or not. 18 years since the hijacking of the planes and the destruction of the Twin Towers in New York City. One jetliner crashing into the Pentagon and another crashing into a wooded area near Somerset, PA. 18 years, can you believe that? A fascinating behind-the-scenes story about that. We'll be chatting with Garrett Graff on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Program note, tonight on WISR, we have Knock High School football. Knock undefeated, going for 3 wins in a row at the start of the season. Scott Briggs and Dave Bacon will call the Knock game live from Saxonburg tonight. Knock hosting Beaver. Airtime is 6:30. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful day and enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Monday at 12:30 for It's Your Turn here on WISR.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Traces of